Okay, so we'll start in an Aleph on the Beis at the two dots. Tan Rabbanan, we were taught by our sages in a Braisa. In the Kabbalah Pikdonos, Lomna Nashim, Lomna Vadim, Lomna Tinokos. A person should not accept an object to watch it from a married woman, a non-Jewish slave, or a child, because we suspect that these objects might be stolen. The married woman may have taken money of her husband and gone with it to buy jewelry without his permission. The slave, certainly normally, whatever a slave has belongs to his master. So how is he having an object that he's giving to someone else to watch? Maybe he stole it from his master. And a child as well. Maybe the child stole something from his host. He's living in a certain home, and he may have stolen it, and now he's depositing it. So why should I be an accessory to a theft? I should not accept these objects to watch them. What happens, though, if he did so? Kibul min ha'isha. If I did accept money from a married woman to watch, now do I not return it to her? No. Ya'azul isha. Then I do return it to her. Because it's not that we know that she's a thief. It's that we are to suspect that she is a thief. But I don't know for certainty that she's a thief. So once I accept the deposit from her, I can't give it to the husband because maybe she's not a thief. Therefore, I do give it back to her. However, v'imesa. But if she died, then ya'azir labala. Then I return it to the husband. Now, mamanavshach, it's the husband's. First of all, we always suspected it may have been the husband's. But even if it wasn't the husband's, it was the wife's item that she gave to me to watch. Once she dies, her husband inherits her. So certainly it should be returned to the husband. Kibul min ha'eved, if a person didn't listen and he did accept to watch an object from a slave, where again we suspect that maybe it's stolen, so then Yahzul Evet, he should return it to the slave. Because maybe it wasn't stolen, maybe it's not from the master. Bimes, if the slave died, then Yahzul Rabo, then you give it back to the master. Because the master would have acquired it from the slave. Right, with one exception, right? If somebody gives something to the slave, al menashe in lecharabo reshusbo, on condition that your master not have it, it's a possibility. So therefore, normally when a slave comes with a deposit, I shouldn't assume that the one possibility out of the hundreds of possibilities is what happened. But if I did already assume that, I already took the object from the slave, I can't return it to the master, you know, ain't holchem b'mamon achar arov, I would give it back to the slave, but if the slave is dead, then I'm not giving it back to the slave anyway. So we're giving it back now to what makes more sense, to the master. We give it back to the master. Good morning. Yes. Yeah. Because we're now not giving back to the slaves, so we assume what's more likely, which is that it came from, that it's really the master's, and that the slave stole it from the master. Kibul min ha'katan. Let's say he didn't do what was right. Wasn't supposed to accept to watch an object from a minor, because he should have assumed that the minor was a thief. We suspect he's a thief. But he did take it from him. So now, maybe somehow, it is his. Maybe he found it. And he acquired something that he found. So now, Yasalo Skula. How do you return it? You can't actually give it back to him, because he's going to be irresponsible with it. So therefore, he puts it into a safe place, into a storage area, or the way they put it, you put it into a trust. That's what the Art Scroll translates. The mace. Now, if this child who deposited and you were wrong in accepting the deposit dies, so the yarshav you give back to the heirs of the child, because maybe it was his and they were the ones who inherited it from him. However, the kulan, in any of these cases, let's say it's a slave or it's a child or a wife, shamru b'shas misasan shel ploni hein, who say when they are dying that the objects belong to so-and-so. They say, listen, we really, not own the object. We gave it to someone to watch, but we really were not the owners. The real owners were so-and-so, and we had given it to us to watch. We then gave it to somebody else. Yasa kepirushan. You have to believe that, and you give it back to that person. The imlav, but if the shomer doesn't believe them, he doesn't believe that it really belonged to that other person, yasa pirush lepirushan, he should make his own interpretation for their interpretation and give it back to the husband or the master or the heirs of the child. So again, let's review the laws of the Mishnah, the Braisa. The Braisa says you have to assume that a wife, a slave, or a child that are depositing things really doesn't belong to them because they frequently steal things. So therefore, you should never get involved. However, if you did get involved, so now you can't be sure that they stole, so you would give it back to them. So the wife and slave, you give back directly. To the child, you couldn't give back because then that's just being irresponsible. To the child, you put it into some type of safe spot that it could stay till the child matures. And if the wife or slave or child died, so then you'd go back to the original view that it probably belonged to somebody else. And if before they died, they said, listen, I know we deposited it, but it really wasn't ours. It really belonged to Yaakov or Shimon. So then, you should give it to Yaakov and Shimon. And if you don't believe them, it doesn't seem likely that it was Yaakov and Shimon's, then you go back to the halacha that we've said earlier. And now a story that applied these rules. The Bisu, the wife, again, the wife normally of someone, we don't believe her when she says it's hers. So the Bisu, the Rabbi Bar Chana, the wife of Rabbi Bar Chana, Kikashacha, when she was dying, Amra, she said, Hani kipi, these earrings, Demarta Ubnei Brasa. She said that these earrings belong to Marta and his daughter's children. So when she was dying, she said these earrings that she had really were not hers, they weren't her husband's either. They really were Marta and Marta's grandchildren that they had given her to watch. So Asalukame de Rav. So Rav Bar Chana went in front of Rav. He said, do I have to listen to her? Amalei said to him, Imehim Nalach, if you believe her, she seemed credible to you, then we just learned that a wife or a slave or a child, when dying, if they say it really belongs to somebody else, we believe them. So if you believe her, asei kepirusha, do what she said to you and give it to Marta's family. V'ilo, but if you don't believe her, so asei pirush lepirusha, then as we saw in the Raisa, you are to give your own interpretation to her interpretation. Namely, you believe that she stole the money from you and went out and bought earrings, so it's really your earrings, so you can keep the earrings. Ikadami, others say there was a different response. Hachi Amarle, this is what Rav said to Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Iyamidalach, if you think that she's wealthy, your wife, and I'm sorry, if you think that Marta is wealthy, and it's reasonable that Marta, in fact, could have such expensive earrings, and then maybe Marta's grandchildren gave your wife these earrings to watch. So I say, Kepirusha, so then do like your wife's interpretation of her actions. But if you don't think that that's a reasonable claim, because you don't think that Marta is wealthy enough for such earrings, so I say, Pirush le Pirusha, do an explanation of her, make an explanation for her explanation, or do as the explanation of her explanation would require, and say, really, it's yours. She stole the money from you to go buy the earrings, so you can keep the earrings.
Can you just ask Marta, describe these earrings that you gave to my wife?
Maybe Marta wasn't around to ask her. Maybe also she wouldn't have credibility because she would have a bias that she wants
say,
to.
Describe these earrings. I mean, she's on the deathbed.
Marta's not on the deathbed. His wife was on the deathbed. But maybe if he goes to talk to Marta, Marta will realize there's a chance to get earrings. So Marta's going to say that she had them. Everybody's looking for money. He was what, Rabbi Bar Chana?
Yeah.
Well, that's apparently the case, right? That sometimes the husband.
Very worried that he would not notice the money used to buy expensive earrings.
But doesn't it
well, it's his wife, though. He generally, empowers her.
Extra
maybe
effort not to steal something from Martha. If he takes it for himself, he's stolen.
So you're addressing a very important point, which is. In general, in money, why do we say that, you can't prove that it's not so-and-so, so we'll give it to so-and-so. Why don't you say that it's safek d'oraisa l'chumra? It's a safek of stealing, let's be strict. So I believe there's a famous answer that apparently in money you have two issues. You have who owns it, and then you have the problem of stealing. First, we decide the issue of who owns it. So if based on that decision, we're saying it belongs to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, so it's not a suffix of stealing. Well, there's possession, and there's also the basic laws that we've seen here, that if somebody seems credible, they say something on their dying bed, even though it's not a not necessarily the usual scenario, we do trust them. Okay, the two dots now. So then the Mishnah said, if the Braisa said, so Nun Beis Amud Aleph, the Braisa said that if you accepted to watch an object, Minakatan, from a child, Yaselo Segula. So now, really, you shouldn't accept from a child. If you did, so you're going to return it, give it back to a trust for him. My segula, what's the meaning of this trust? Rav Chisda Amar Sefer Torah. You have to keep it safe. So how do you keep it safe? You take the item he gave you and buy with it a Sefer Torah. So if he has a Sefer Torah, now it's going to be safe. Because he's always going to study from the Sefer Torah. Rabbi Bar Avuna Amar, Rabbi Bar Avuna said, Dikla. You take the money, and with it you buy a date tree. So he can't lose a date tree. So now he's going to get he's going to get money back, because the date tree is going to grow and produce fruit, and he will gain. So Achamine Tamri is going to be able to eat the fruits from the date tree. Okay, now we go back to the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah that there are all sorts of scenarios where there is no chazakah. Chazakah again means that somebody has been using a field for 3 years with no protest. So that that reality, 3 years of no protest from the original owner, now supports his case that he really is the one who purchased it. And even though there is no document, no proof of his purchase, we believe him when he tells us that he purchased it. So now the Mishnah says, Lola av benichse aben, lola ben benichse av. Cases where there is no chazaka would be a father who is on a field of his son for 3 years without the son protesting, or the son on the father's field for 3 years without the father protesting. If they then said, father or son, I bought it from my son or I bought it from my father, and where's your document? I don't have the document. I was here for 3 years. I didn't have to keep the document anymore. We'd say to them, we don't believe you. Where's the document? Because the fact that there were 3 years without a protest does not make likelihood that you're really the owner. Because we say to the son or the father, the reason why there was 3 years with no protest was because it was your relative. So your relative doesn't start up with you. But it's not a reason to think that it's really yours.
Are we talking with Katana or with Shmet?
No, they could be Gedolim. But the fact is that they're related to each other. They're close relatives. So now, the Mishnah said, V'lo l'av b'nichsi ha-ben, v'lo l'ben b'nichsi ha-av. So the Gemara has a machlokas here. Amar Rav Yosef said, afilu chalku. This is true even if the son split away from the father. The son is not eating from the father. He's not working with the father. He's independent. Nevertheless, the son and the father are not going to have a chazak against each other. Because the reason why they didn't protest was because they're relatives. Rav Amar chalku lo. If they separated financially, then they're separate individuals. And then they can have a chazaka one against the other. It's only when the son is working for the father. So the son is in the father's home and eating from the father's food. Then we would say that the son, who's living in the father's home for 3 years, doesn't have a chazaka, that he bought the home from the father because he's still part of the father's family. So I'm Rav Yirmi Midifti said, Avad Rav Papi Uvda. Rav Papa ruled in regards to a shiloh that came to him, that chalkulo, that if the father and son had separated, then we don't have the rule of the Mishnah, and then a chazaka could be established one against the other, kirava, like the view of Rava. Am Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, Ishtoyli Rav Chiya Mehurmiz Ardashid. Rav Chiya from Hurmiz Ardashid told me, Ishtoyli Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov told him, Mishmed Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov, the name of Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov, also like Rava, that Chalku, that if the father and son have separated financially, then lo, then the ruling of the Mishnah does not apply, and they could establish a chazak against the other. So that's the halacha. Chalku, if father and son have split up, then if the son is in the father's field after they split up for 3 years without father protesting, that's a chazaka. Tanam Yach, we have a brisa like this too. Ben Shechalak, if a son is separated from his father, he's no longer eating from his father, he's no longer working with his father, he's independent. Or Ishashen is Garsha, a wife is divorced, she's no longer getting food from her husband, she no longer loves her husband, and her husband no longer loves her. Harein Kishar Kol Adam. So now their relationship to each other is like any other two people to each other. And therefore one could establish a chazaka against the other. Okay. Itmar, we learned. Echad mina achin shaya nosev and nosev besoch habayis. Going back to the issue of presumption of who owns something. Let's say there was a man who passed away and he left 3 children. The oldest is given the responsibility to manage the estate for everyone. He does the buying and the selling. He's taking care of all the assets. And now you have all sorts of documents. Documents of purchase, documents of loans, in his name. V'amar shalihein, he said, this is my own money. Shenafu limibeis avi'ima, which came from my mother's father, not related to you, the other two siblings. Amar Rav said, alav lahavi raya. We assume that it's not true. We assume that these possessions do belong to the other siblings, because he's the one in charge of all the assets, so he could easily put it in his name. So we don't trust him that it's under his name. However, Shmuel said, no, at the end of the day, even if he's managing the estate, things are in his hands. So the brothers have to prove that it's not his. Amar Shmuel said, Moduli Abba, Rav would agree to me. Shimei said, if this brother died, the other brothers would have to prove that it's really their money, because we would assume that it does belong that he was telling the truth because we don't assume that the orphans know all of his affairs. And so, yeah, it is likely that maybe it is his own money. Maskeflor Rav Papa, so Rav Papa challenged what Shmuel said. Klum tanina luhu liyasmi midit lotan luavua. I don't understand. Why would you say we'll make a claim for the orphans, and therefore we will assume that it was their father's money? Had their father been alive, he wouldn't have been able to claim that it was his money. Because we're saying, like Rav, we assume that it's not his money, it's the money of the estate. So now that he's dead, the children are better off than were the father to be alive. So the Gemara and Rav Papa added, Rava apik zuzah desarbala. We know that Rav Papa took, or did not take, a cloakmaker's scissors and safra da agadata, book of agadata miyasmi, from orphans, below raya, without a proof. Vidvarim. Right, Rav Papa took, he took a pair of scissors and a book of Agadata from Yisomim. Rav Papa did take a book of Agadata from the Yisomim, even though there was no proof that he owned them. Bidvare ma'asuyin lahashu lahaskir, because these were things that were normally lent out. Since they were normally lent out, so then we could assume that the man who claimed he was the original owner, and proof that he was the original owner, really did own them. But otherwise, we wouldn't make such assumptions. Kiddushalach Rehunabar Avin, turning that in Nunbez and Nunbez, as which Rehunabar Avin had sent, Dvarim Asuyan Lahashu Lahaskil, things that are normally borrowed or rented. And a man says that they're not borrowed or rented, they're purchased. Eino Neeman is not believed about that. So, if so, how could we make a claim for the Yisomim if we couldn't have made that claim for the father? Someone says, Kasha, that's a problem. We don't know an answer, but that's still what Shmuel said. Okay. So now, going back to the law of Rav. Rav had said that if there is a person who passes away and leaves over a generous estate, and the oldest son is the one managing the estate, and now we have all sorts of documents after a couple of years that say in the oldest son's own name, purchases or loans that he gave out, and he claims that that's not from the estate, that's his own money. So Rav said, we don't believe him. Olav Lahavi Raya. He has to bring a proof.
It seems that they have different mothers.
Yeah. The children have different mothers. Yeah. So Amar Rav Chizda said, when did Rav say that we don't believe him, that it's his money? Lo Shanu Eladzein Chalukin Biisasa. Aval Chalukin Biisasan Eimor Meisaso Kimetz. So this is true. That Rav said he doesn't believe him that the man inherited it if they're not dividing up anything. The estate is functioning, you know, as a corporation. So then we say that Rav says, listen, he's the guy managing the estate. He probably stole it. We don't believe him that he inherited it. But if they had divided up their food costs, so then maybe this added money or these, you know, assets are rightfully his assets because he chose to skimp on his own food to go into business and he had atzlach, he had success in it. So Gemara now says, Raya b'may, what type of a proof does he have to bring according to Rav to prove that these assets are his? So Rabba Mariah be'edim, he has to bring witnesses. Rav Sheshes Amar Raya b'kiyum ashtar, all he needs to do is to validate the shtar that he has. where the court will say, yes, it's fine that this is a valid document. So if the court certifies the document, and the document says that the money is owed to him, so that's already enough for us to be sure that the money is truly owed to him, that it's his money, and he didn't steal it from the estate. Amar li Rava, L'Rav Nachman, Rava said to Rav Nachman, HaRav, V'HaShmuel, here we have Rav, and here we have Shmuel, who disagree whether or not we assume that the older brother is speaking the truth or not. HaRav of HaRav Sheshes, and now we have a dispute even within Rav, between Rav and Rav Sheshes, what level of proof the older brother needs to bring. So now Rav asked Rav Nachman, Ma, Rav Nachman, command Svirle, who does the Rebbe agree with? So Amalei Rav Nachman said like this, Ana, Masnisa Yadana, I know of a Braisa, like Rav. Titani, we learned in a Braisa, Echam and Achim. If there's one of the brothers, Shaya Nose, Venose, Mesoch Abayis, he was in charge of running all the business affairs. And he has now all sorts of IOUs in his own name. He says, these are things that are my own. That I inherited money from my grandmother, or from my, I'm sorry, I inherited money from my grandfather, from my mother's side. But it's mine. Alav lahavi raya. He has to prove that these assets were in fact purchased with his own money. V'cheina isha. So too, if you have a widowed woman, shayanosis v'nosanes besoch habayis, who had been managing the estate, v'yonos u'shtaros yotzon al shema. Now there are all sorts of assets in her name. V'amra shalihein, and she claims, yeah, these are my own monies. This is money owed to me, shenafim v'beis avi abba, that I inherited from my grandfather, v'beis avi ima, from my mother's father. Alei lavi raya, again, we assume she's not saying the truth. She has to prove that it's hers. My v'chein, why say, and also a woman, in what way are these the same things? The Gemara explains, now the Tzemah would have thought to say, it's true about an older son, that we don't assume that it's his, the way he says. But Isha, in the case of a woman, even the Shvicha La Milsa, since she's honored to manage other people's money. Because people will say, look at what a great woman, she's working for these orphans. Lo Gazla Miyasmi, and therefore we would assume she certainly wouldn't steal from them. So therefore, maybe we do assume that she's saying the truth, because she has an interest in saying that she's helping the orphans. So if she's saying that it's hers, it's probably the case. No, we don't say it's probably the case. We say here there's money that's available to her because she's managing the orphans. If she says it's hers, we don't trust her. We think that she stole it. What's that?
Not for trumpets.
The halacha deleted that we learned that they have to put apotropos on.
Why? The widow could be the apotropos.
She's the stepmother.
She can be in charge of the assets. Now going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Bamedvar amurim, what is this true? Bimachzik. This is all about a person who's doing a chazaka. Avul benosei matana v'achin shechalku. But somebody who gives a gift, or brothers, or dividing up inheritance, that's not a chazak. The Gemara says, Atu kolhani daminan, all these that were mentioned in the Mishnah, Labne chazaka ninu, they can't acquire things with a chazaka. So now we're switching to a different meaning of chazaka, to work the ground and thereby acquire it. So the Gemara answered, no. Chisur mixra v'achi katani, the Mishnah is missing things. When we talk about the chazaka, which is to buttress a claim, then we say a son doesn't have a chazaka against his father, a thief doesn't have a chazaka, a married woman doesn't have a chazaka, an apotropos doesn't have a chazaka. Aval chazaka she'eini mataina. But the laws of chazaka that are not dependent on a claim, namely the word chazaka meaning to do acts of ownership in a field and thereby acquire the field, to go no sin matana, like someone who gives a gift, or achin shechalku, or brothers who are dividing an inheritance from their father. So Reuven now has to do something on one field to show that it's his, and Shimon will do something on another field to show that it's his. We're only talking about acquisition. So then, nal gadar paretz kalshu, even locking, fencing, or breaking a fence a little bit, harezu chazaka. That is an act of chazaka. Tana Rav Hoshaya b'kedushin de Levi. Rav Hoshaya taught this following brisa when they were learning the laws of kedushin in the yeshiva of Levi. Now, gadar paratz kalshu b'fanav, harezu chazaka. If a person is purchasing a field and he now, you know, breaches the fence in front of the seller, that's a chazaka. B'fanav inshalo, b'fanav lo. I understand. The seller has to be there for it to be a chazaka. Amar Rava, Rava said, hachikam, this is what it means. B'fanav, if it was done in front of him, lo tzarech lemeimar lechazeku kni. Even though he, the seller, didn't say, go do the act of chazaka, it worked. Shalom b'fanav. But if he's not going to be there when I'm breaching the fence, the only time my breach of the fence works for me to acquire it as a buyer is if beforehand, tzarech lemeimar le, he told me, le chazeku kni. Yes, I agree to sell it to you. Go do an act of chazaka to acquire it. Thank you. Rabbi